Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you guys. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We will release the youth group today with Coach Kenny. If you're a teenager in the house and you want to go to pancakes and the Bible study. Also, if you need a bulletin, you can raise your hand. One of the ushers will come down the aisle, give you a bulletin that has the announcements as well as the study guide. We encourage you to take notes because we believe the Lord does speak through his word. Does anybody believe that? And we encourage you to come to church believing that God will speak to you. Does anybody come to church like that? I mean, come over here, drive as you're driving, as you get up, and just believe that God is going to speak to you because that's what the Lord does through his word. And one word from God can change your life forever. I also want to welcome our online viewers. If you don't know already, but we streamline our 9:45 and 12:30 service on the website, or not the website, but on our live stream page. And so God bless those who are watching through the live stream. Mark chapter 5. Before we get into the word this morning, I have a special kind of announcement to make. I want to show the picture of what God is going to do through Chapel of Change. We are getting ready in the month of October to launch a Sunday night Carson campus on Sunday nights. You know, back in the days, they used to have Sunday night service. Back in the days. And for whatever reason, churches have moved away from that, but we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back along with the Holy Ghost, and we're gearing up for our grand opening, which, if everything goes right, God willing, will be October 8th at 5 p.m. Want to kind of just clarify a couple things, because we're not an ordinary church. We're not your run-of-the-mill, regular cookie-cutter type church. And so we got to just constantly clarify, like, who we are. And so this Carson campus is going to be Chapel of Change. Right now, we're one church in two locations. We have Paramount and we have Long Beach. I'm the primary preacher at both locations, and it is going to be the same thing with our Carson campus. I'll be preaching at that one. We have a worship team. We have children's ministry right there. And so it's going to be, now we're going to be one church in three locations, Paramount, Long Beach, and Carson, to the glory of God. And we are excited that God is going to reach more souls through that Carson campus. We are excited that that's going to be, you know, that's a forward operating base for the kingdom of God, and that we're going to reach souls all the way in San Pedro, Torrance, Gardena, L.A., through that campus to the glory of God, Wilmington, all them local South Bay areas. We want to reach people. So we're excited that more souls are going to be saved. Now, we are challenging the church. You're going to hear this leading up to our grand opening. We need Chapel of Change to rise up and give some support. We need all soldiers on deck. There are a couple ways that you could help out. There's one of four ways you could help launch our campus to the glory of God. I want to share with you them several ways. Maybe you could do two of these ways. Maybe one or two of you could hit a grand slam and do all four of them. But one way you could help out, we're asking the church, is to attend this service once or twice a month. Once or twice a month. We're challenging Chapel of Change to give support by worshiping in the service once or twice a month for 6 months, just to give us enough time for the local community to respond. Like, we're going to go and pass out invites and door hangers, but we need people in the church when the community comes in. Hello, somebody. We need somebody there, right? And so if you have space and time, you want to help expand the kingdom of God, you can do that. We encourage you to come and worship there once or twice a month. Another area you can serve is you can serve there once a month. We need ushers and greeters and children's ministry, the slide team. We need people to serve there once a month. So that's another area that you could help. Thirdly, we're going to be passing out door hangers After our international festival, on about three Saturdays before the grand opening, we're going to be passing out door hangers. So we need people to go and help out and pass out door hangers to invite the community. That's the third way you could help out. Fourthly, if you can't help out in any of theirs, we also need financial partners to help launch the campus. How many of you know it takes finances to advance the kingdom of God, right? And so we need financial partners. It's going to cost approximately, just to launch it, it's going to cost approximately about a little over $2,000 a month for everything. It's going to cost about $2,000 a month for everything. But also, we're going to have to spend maybe about approximately about $3,000 to $4,000 on startup costs. For example, we need to buy a sound system, right? We don't want to use their sound system because we want the freedom to rock. Amen? We love to rock. Can I get amen on that? And so we are going to look towards buying our own sound system so we don't have to be on tippy toes, you know, and we just want to rock out for Jesus. We also have to buy a projector, and there's other things, flyers and all that stuff we have to buy. So the startup cost, apart from the monthly fee, is going to be about $3,000 to $4,000. So if anyone can help out in that, if you want to give towards that, you can give through the regular tithes and offerings or online at chapelofchange.org. And all you got to do is write Carson on the memo, and it will go towards the expansion of God's kingdom, and you will be making an eternal impact. How many want to make an eternal impact with your life? Right? Because all this is going to pass away eventually. All this is going to pass away. But what we do with Jesus is going to count in the long run. And so I want to encourage and challenge all the Chapel of Change to step up, because we want to reach souls. We want to reach souls. We want to decide. We want to make more disciples, and we want to raise up more leaders for the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I have a word of encouragement for you today. I'm going to be reading verses 24 through 34, and then I'll come back and kind of kick this off. Are you ready? Mark chapter 5, verses 24. It reads like this. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Someone say, ouch. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touched his clothes, I will be healed. I love this about this sister, that she didn't wait for God to touch her. She touched God. And sometimes we need to learn how to touch God. Sometimes our situation is so desperate that we cannot wait for God to touch us, but we need to get in our prayer closet, in our worship closet, in our faith closet, and learn how to touch God by ourselves. Are you following along? This sister learned, she didn't wait for Jesus to touch her, but she learned to touch Jesus. Verse 29. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus stops. Verse 31. "You see the people crowding you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. She wasn't supposed to touch Jesus. In this custom, if you were unclean and you touched a rabbi or you touched somebody that was clean, you were subject to be stoned to death. in this particular culture, if you were unclean, if you were labeled as unclean, which she was, you could not talk to people, you could not socialize with people like everybody did, and you definitely could not touch people, especially a rabbi. And so she knew something was wrong, and she feared, she feared, and so she comes trembling to Jesus. And what I love about her is that the Bible says she told the whole truth. Some of y'all need to tell Jesus the whole truth, right? You got to just tell him the whole truth. He knows it all anyways. Did you catch that? He knows it all. He knows about your problem. He knows about your situation. You just need to come out with your hands up and tell Jesus the whole truth. You ain't really repented until you tell God the whole truth. I don't know who that was for, but that was a side note. Verse 34. Jesus said to her, I love this last phrase. This is powerful. You got to get this. Daughter. Someone say daughter. I love that because, see, she started off as a no-name lady in the Bible, but because of her faith and the mercy of Jesus, she ends up with one of the most powerful titles one could ever have, and that is a daughter of God. Did you notice that? She starts off with a no-name, being a no-name person, but because of her faith and the mercy of Jesus, she ends up as a daughter of the Most High God. That ought to cause you to love Jesus even more. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Be set free. Someone say, set me free. Today, I want to inspire your faith this morning. I want to encourage your faith. I want to challenge your faith. Today, I want to build up your faith. How many feel like you need stronger faith? Raise your hand if you feel like you going through something and you just need God to strengthen your faith. I want to inspire you today in the Word of God. I want to inspire you by the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that you walk away today feeling like the champion you are in Christ Jesus. My prayer today is you walk away feeling like a champ because of who you are in Christ Jesus. You are no longer a no-name, just anybody. You are a daughter or a son of the Most High God. I want to inspire you today. I want to encourage you today so that tomorrow morning you wake up getting ready to whoop on Monday. I want to inspire you that you wake up in the morning, you are no longer intimidated by that job that you really don't like or that school that you're going to, but because of who you are in Jesus and what you have as a child of God, you're going to wake up tomorrow getting ready to whoop on Monday. I'm tired of Monday whooping on us. I ain't afraid of Monday. That's a word for somebody right there. Somebody got to tell the devil, I ain't afraid of Monday. I'm going to whoop on Monday. In this chapter, Mark chapter 5, Jesus encounters a lady who had a serious, serious problem. She was a sick lady. She had a terrible condition. This lady was dying a slow death. She was dying a slow death. Get this now. I want to paint the picture of her problem because some of y'all think you have problems. This sister right here had problems. Her body was leaking blood for 12 straight years. 12 straight years. Not 1 year, not 2 years, but 12 straight years. She was weak. She was tired. And on top of that, she was desperate. I don't know if you've ever been in a desperate situation. You know, it's one thing to have a bad day. Has anybody ever had a bad day before? Right? And it's even another thing to have a bad week. Has anybody ever had a bad week? But let me tell you something. When you have a bad decade, that you may have the right to complain. I don't know. But this sister had a bad decade, 12 years. Get this now. She wakes up to the very same problem. She faced the same problem for 12 years. She woke up every single day facing the same old demon, facing the same old devil. Listen, I got problems throughout the year, but generally speaking, they are different problems that happen. And being that they're different problems, it makes it a little bit easier to tackle them, makes them a little bit easier. But when you face the same problem every single day for 12 years, that has the potential just to drain you of everything. Got to wake up and face the same devil, the same joker. Don't look to your right or your left. I ain't talking about your spouse, right? I'm talking about the devil, right? Some of y'all, I got to correct y'all's thinking because you get ahead, right? Some of you are looking like this, right? And on top of that situation, this problem wasn't just a physical problem. It wasn't just a spiritual problem, but it also became a financial problem. When your problems start to drain your bank account, you got a problem. She spent all her money. She probably spent all her inheritance. She taxed her credit cards. You ever try to tax your credit cards to get out of a problem? Don't say amen to that. Just keep looking at me. The problem so dominated her life. Get this now. The Bible doesn't even tell her name. Doesn't even give her name. The King James translation calls her the woman with the issue of blood. She was a woman with issues. She had issues. Issues. You ever met a brother or sister with issues? Yeah. You ever met a brother or sister with issues? If you didn't say yeah, then you're probably the one with issues. But this sister had issues. She had issues. The LBC translation is she's drama. She has drama. She everywhere she goes, she come with drama. Wherever she comes with drama. But you know what the reality is? The reality is we all have issues. The reality is that you may have come to church today with unresolved issues that are draining you of your faith, draining you of your hope, and making your life difficult. We all have issues. That's the reality of it. Let's keep it real. Some of us have physical issues. Some of us have emotional issues. We're held up with hurts and habits and hang-ups. Some of us have spiritual issues. We're not right with God. Some of us have social issues. We can never get along with people. We go from job to job, church to church, circle to circle. You got to figure out one day it's not the people, it's you. And some of us got social issues. But we're going to learn from this sister today who had some issues. But what's inspiring and encouraging about this sister is that in the midst of her problem, she still had an ounce of faith to stop Jesus in his tracks. In the midst of her devastation, in the midst of her difficulty, she still had an ounce of faith to stop Jesus in his tracks. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here today been going through hell and high water, but if you feel, if you could just muster up an ounce of faith, if you could just muster up a quarter piece of faith, if you could just somehow just scratch together a little piece of faith, listen, a little piece of faith can work wonders in your life. It don't take much. Someone say it don't take much. Jesus says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that all things are possible with you. All things are possible with you. If you have just faith as a side of a mustard seed, it does not take much. And so today I want to give you a couple reflections on this sister's encounter with Jesus that will inspire us and challenge us too. But the first thing I want to share is this. God shuts down options for you to turn to him. God shuts down options for you to turn to him. Look at verse 26. It says, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Before she turned to Jesus, she turned to many doctors. The text, it appears in the text that God was the last person that she turned to. She spent her money, she brought out her credit card, she tried to use her own sources to get her out the hole that she was in. And how many know that faith will take you farther than money ever will? Faith will take you farther than money ever will. Now, let's be honest here. We can't judge her. We can't judge her, even though we'll like to judge her, but we can't judge her. You know why? Because we all do the same thing. We all do the same thing. We get in a jam. We get in a situation that is hard. And the last person we call is God. We all tend to do the same thing. You know, people try all sorts of different cures before they turn to God. People try all sorts of different cures. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to money, right? Other people turn to relationships. That's a big thing right there, relationships. In the 4.5 years that this church has been alive, I've seen this over and over again. Listen, let me help you out just a little bit. If you just got out of a relationship, don't jump into another one. I just want to, listen, if you catch this one thing, it'll cut your stress level by 50%. You just get this one thing. If you just got out of a relationship, don't jump into another one. You need to learn to live with Jesus first. Right? You need to learn to be satisfied with Jesus first, because if you're not ever satisfied with Jesus, you ain't going to be satisfied with. And I see this over and over again just in the 4.5 years that we've been there. So listen, I want to cut your stress by 50%. Don't jump into another one. See, as long as we think we have options, it's hard for us to turn to God. As long as we think we have options. That's why it's hard, the Bible teaches, it's hard for rich people to enter into the heaven, because they think they got options. They think they got options. But what I want us to get today is that faith kicks in the strongest when our options fail. Faith kicks in the strongest when our options fail. Listen, sometimes God shuts down our options so that we can turn to Him. That's what happened with this sister. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and finally, here comes the great doctor, which is Jesus Christ. She spent all her money. Until then, she finally turns to Jesus. So, my brothers and sisters, when you find yourself out of options, don't despair. You're in the right place for God. When you find yourself out of friends, you're just right for God. When you find yourself out of money, listen, you're just right for God. I just want to remind you that a person is in a great place when all they can turn to is God. A person is in a great place. And I know this sounds crazy, but do you know where I was at in my greatest place in my life? You know where I was in the greatest place in my life? You know where I was in the greatest place of my life? It wasn't when I'm in my home and I have my wife around me and my kids around me. That's a great place, but that wasn't the greatest place. It's not when I'm driving in my car and I got money in my pocket and I got money in the bank. No. That wasn't the greatest place I ever been to. You know what the greatest place I was at? And I know this sounds crazy, but this is where it is. It was when I was in the L.A. County Jail in a one-man cell about to start a life sentence. You know why? Because I was in a place where all I could turn to was God. That is the place. And see, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves working against God, because He may be the one that is shutting down the options in your life so that you can finally and sincerely, with all your heart, turn to Him. Sometimes God shuts down options for you to turn to Him. Secondly, the second main reflection is God responds to faith. God responds to faith. Look at what it says in verse 30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him, and He turned around. Now, you got to get this picture. Jesus is walking, and there's lots of people touching Him. There's lots of people pulling on Him. There's lots of people there, and he's in the midst of this crowd. But what I want you to get is that He doesn't stop for the crowd. He doesn't stop for the commotion of the crowd. He doesn't stop for the noise of the crowd. He stops for the one person. He stops for one person in the crowd of many. Now, what made her touch so different than everybody else? What made her touch so special? What made her touch so powerful that it stopped God in the flesh? What made her touch so powerful that Jesus turns around and asks the question, who touched me? What made it so different? You know what it made? What made it so different? It was her faith. It was her faith. Hear me today, my brothers and sisters. God responds to faith. God reacts to faith. God is attentive to faith. God is attracted to faith. And I believe, this is my personal belief, that God responds more to our faith than our tears. I believe that God responds more to our faith than he does our tears. He certainly responds more to our faith than our complaints. Some of us think we can get God to move based on our complaints, but God does not move off of complaints. In fact, the enemy wants to trap us in the arena of complaints. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus approached a centurion Roman soldier, and this Roman soldier had somebody that was sick and dying, and Jesus told him, he said, listen, I will go to your house, and I will heal that person. And you know what this centurion said? This Roman guard said, he says, you know what, Jesus? You don't even need to go to my house, but if you speak your word only, my servant will be healed. He says, you don't even need to go. You don't even need to walk in my living room. You don't even need to touch my servant. Just speak your word only, and he will be healed. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus was amazed at this man's faith. In fact, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10 says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Think about that for a second. When is the last time we amazed God with our faith? When is the last time that God looked down upon our life and says, man, I'm so amazed that he can believe me for the impossible. I'm so amazed that she can believe me for the impossible. Think about it. Think about it. Could it be that God is not responding to your situation because you're not using your faith? Could it be that God is not responding to your situation because you're not standing in faith? All throughout the Bible, we see God responding to faith. Not because he's our servant, but because he loves to see people that are daring enough to trust in him. He loves to see his kids that are daring to trust in him. He loves to reward them. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God responds to faith. And I want to challenge you to get up in faith. I want to challenge you to wake up tomorrow in faith. I want to challenge you, go through your week believing and trusting God for the impossible in your life. The last reflection. Faith is a facilitator. Faith is a facilitator. Look at verse 34. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Notice Jesus says, I didn't heal you, even though he did, but he doesn't say that. He says, your faith has healed you. Look at what faith did. Look at what faith facilitated. Faith helped to appropriate the promises of God. Faith helped her to appropriate the promise of healing for her life. It helped her to appropriate the promises. Now get this, I want to kind of clarify something a little bit. It's your faith, but it's not your faith. It's your faith, but it's not your faith. It's your faith because you get to use it, but it's not your faith because God gave it to you. Are you following along? It's your faith, but it's not your faith. It's your faith because you get to use it, but it's not your faith because God gave it to you. It all starts and ends with God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the giver and he is the object of our faith. Faith is a gift from God that you could use to appropriate the promises of God. Are you following along? Faith is the connection between the written promises of God and the manifested promise of God in your life. That's a word for somebody there. Faith is the fuse between the written promises of God and the manifested promises of God in your life. Faith is a facilitator that helps you to obtain the manifestation of God's promises. We see that played out here in the text. Her faith tapped into the power of God. Her faith put, and I don't know how to explain this exactly, but her faith put a demand on the power of God. In fact, in verse 30, it says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. Now let me read, check this out. Because verse 27 gives her faith in action. Let me read it out of the King James Version. Just listen to what it says. When she had heard of Jesus, how does faith come? Anybody know how faith comes? By hearing by the word of God. So look at this. Faith is bubbling up in her. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now remember, she wasn't supposed to touch him because in this culture, if you were unclean and you touched a rabbi or any other person, you were subject to be put to death. But she touches him anyways. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Look at her faith in action. She believed, she spoke, and she acted. Are you following along? She believed, she spoke, and she acted. Hear me today, because some people will say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. But the real question is, have you learned to use your faith? The question is, does your faith benefit your life? The question is, have you learned to work your faith? Have you learned to activate your faith? Have you learned to use your faith? Listen, my brothers and sisters, you could have a heart full of faith, but if you don't know how to activate it, you could still live a defeated Christian life. You could have a heart full of faith and still live a defeated life if you don't know how to activate what God has put inside of you. And we see this in the text. She believed, she spoke, and then she acted on her faith. And it created an explosion of healing in her life. My brothers and sisters, if you're a born-again believer, you are a powerful person. You are a powerful person. We don't even scratch the surface of understanding how much power that God has placed inside of us. We don't even scratch the surface of understanding how powerful you are when you get the Holy Ghost inside of you and you get faith bubbling up inside of you. Listen, you are unstoppable. If you learn to activate your faith, if you really learn what God has deposited inside of you, listen, you will wake up tomorrow and whoop up on Monday. If you learn what's inside of you, if you learn how to use it, if you learn how to activate it. My dad, he's from the old school. And he just, maybe about a year or two, went from a flip phone to an iPhone. Do we have any holdouts up in here? And he has an iPhone. And even with an iPhone, he will tell me, text me the directions to the place we need to go. And he'll tell me that. Text me the directions. What's the main cross streets? Text me the directions. And I have to tell him, I have to let him know, Dad, you don't need nobody to text you the directions no more. All you got to do is type in the address in your iPhone, and it will tell you how to get there. And on top of that, you don't even have to type it in. All you got to do is speak it in there, and some lady from England will talk back to you and tell you what street to go down and how far it is from here to there with her accent. Dad, you got the power in your hands. You don't need me. I'm getting out my frustration now. You don't need me to text you the address no more. I hope he ain't here. I can't see y'all. I'm closing my eyes. You don't need me to text, hey, somebody help me out. All you got to do is speak it in there, and it will tell you. You know why? Because the power is inside. The power is inside. My brothers and sisters, I want to end it with this. You are some powerful people. You are some powerful people. God has placed some things inside of you. There should be no reason why you live a defeated lifestyle. There should be no reason why you should hang your head down. There should be no reason why you should be depressed. There should be no reason why you should have low self-esteem. Not what God has done inside of you. You ought to be repenting from pride. That's what you need to be doing. You shouldn't be having no low self-esteem. Half of us don't even realize what God has placed inside of us. But if you ever get a revelation of what God has done, you'll wake up and whoop on Monday. I don't know why I'm talking about Monday, because some of y'all are afraid of Monday. Don't be afraid of Monday. I don't care what's waiting for you at that job, what's waiting for you at that school. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire and faith. Filled with it. You know, I'm going to end with this, but I'm totally convinced there's going to be a lot of Christians that slide into heaven like a beat-up car. I'm convinced of that. They're going to slide, boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, and okay, you got there. That's fine. Okay, now, you know, I guess at the end of the day, you got there. So praise the Lord. But you know what? I'm convinced that God is going to look at some of us and it says, why are you so broke down? Why are you so broke? Didn't you know what I gave you in my word? Didn't you know what I did for you on the cross? Don't you know what I did for you with the Holy Ghost? Don't you know what I did for you? What I placed inside of you with your faith? Man, don't be like one of those who skid into heaven like a broke down car. Nah, I'm not doing that. I'm going to live victorious as best as what's in me by the grace and mercy and power of God. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. As the worship team comes up and everybody just bow our heads and remain seated right where we're at, I want us to reflect upon the word. Let's just think about how God spoke to us. I want us just to reflect upon it for a moment. God is challenging us at different places in our life. Let's bow our heads and just reflect for a couple moments.